Joshua chapter number 1. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Can I ask you a question? Is there anyone in the house this morning that can say the Lord has failed you? Is there anyone in the house that can say you have failed the Lord? But he's never failed us. Be strong, the Word of God, and this is the first mention of this word, courage, and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, look for a word that's been in our recent services. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest. See it? And hath given you this land. For your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed. I underline that in my Bible. All the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then shall ye return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against the commandment and will not hearken unto the words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. You can be seated this morning. Father, I thank you for the word of God, and I thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you, Father, this morning for the sweet Holy Spirit. I pray, dear God, that he would do his office work in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, that you would put a guard on our lips, that we would only say, Father, that is pleasing in thy sight. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would wake us up as a country. Wake our churches up, our Father, and give us courage to stand in these days, and having done all, to stand. Lord Jesus, I'd like to tell you one more time, I love you. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, God, for trusting me with this book. Thank you, Lord, for trusting me with these people. Now help us, our Father, that we might be a help. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, thank you again for being here today. As I've watched the events unfold this week in Ukraine, over and over, I have been broken in my heart to tears, to praying, to begging God to help. I think that I'm not going to go into all of it, but there's some things that we could do immediately that would help. But there's nothing like the power of prayer. There's nothing like the power of God. When I first saw it begin to unfold, the first two words that came to my, well, there's actually three with the conjunction, was David and Goliath. That's what it looks like. A giant is coming down on a little fella. But how many knows there's a God that can make the difference for the little fella? Last night, as the Lord just began to stir in my heart, I thought about the president of Ukraine. I don't know a lot about him. I'm being honest this morning. But I can tell you this. I admire a man that's offered a ride out of town. It says, I don't need a ride. I need ammunition. I admire that in a man. You say, Pastor, that man's a fool. I don't know about that. You can read in your Bible, beloved men, that wouldn't back down. Would you say that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were fools? Because they wouldn't bow to the idol image of gold when the music was played? Or would you say, beloved, that in eternity it's revealed? Even in the Word of God, it's revealed. Listen, listen, Mr. King. We know that you're threatening us with the furnace. And we know that our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, we will not bow to your idol image of gold. That's courage. We need some daddies with some courage. We need some pastors with some courage. We need some leaders in America with some courage. And I'm telling you, beloved, with all of my heart, God was giving Joshua the courage that he needed for the task that was at hand. It was a monumental task that God had given Joshua. I like it when the task is impossible to accomplish without God. Can I say this? Listen to me carefully. Whatever the task is for your life, it'll be a happy day in your life when you realize that task is impossible to accomplish without God. That's why God said in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Courage. The definition of courage, if you look at the dictionary, means a mental or a moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. We're seeing some great pictures of courage in our world right now. In the Hebrew, in the Word of God here, if you look at the Hebrew word, it's pronounced amatz. And it means to be alert. Can I say this? The average Christian in America is not alert. The word begins with A, but it's not alert. They're asleep. Asleep at the wheel. God wants us to be a praying people, a persevering people, a people of courage, a people that will not back down. I was talking to a man in a paint store in Bristol yesterday, and the man, just from my conversation, he said this to me, "Are you a veteran?" And I said, "No." I said, I never did fight in a war, but I said, I love the veterans. I said, I love this country. I guess I discovered too late, not being saved till I was 27 years old, really, what freedom and what America and the price that's been paid. Amen. But I'll say this to you, beloved. We ought to love our veterans. And we ought to love our country. We ought to love our flag. We ought to love our Bible. We ought to love the throne of grace. We ought to love, beloved, one another in these days, because we're going to need that courage. I believe one fellow said there's a fine line between courage and foolishness. He said it's too bad it's not a fence. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, there are people in the world today that are mocking the people of Ukraine. And they think that they're foolish not to just throw up their hands and back down. But I tell you what, I believe God's people ought to admire them. They ought to admire that spirit. We wouldn't be here today if there wasn't some people in this country that had enough courage to stand for what's right in this world, this sin-benighted, ungodly world that we live in. I read this, and I'll get into the message this morning. I'll try my best not to be before you long. I believe God can get the point across real quickly. The Prussian king, Frederick the Great, was widely known as an agnostic. By contrast, General von Zeelin, one of his most trusted officers, was a devout Christian. Let me stop and say something, just in my heart. Not only, Brother Steve, do I admire the courage of the Ukrainians, I admire the courage of the Russians that are standing up and saying this is not right. You know what I told my wife early on, Brother Don? They can't lock them all up. They're going to run out of room in prison. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I admire the young people that are standing up and saying this is not right, knowing that they may lose their very life for what they're doing. I believe with all of my heart, this illustration says a lot. By contrast, General von Zeelin, one of his most trusted officers, was a devout Christian. Thus it was that during a festive gathering, the king began making crude jokes about Jesus Christ until everyone was rocking with laughter, all but von Zeelin. That is, finally, he arose and addressed the king. He said, "Sire, you know I have not feared death. I have fought and won 38 battles for you. I am an old man, and I shall soon have to go into the presence of one greater than you, the mighty God who saved me from my sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are blaspheming. I salute you, sire, as an old man who loves his Savior. On the edge of eternity, the place went silent, and with a trembling voice, the king replied, General von Zeelin, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. And with that, the party quietly ended. Can I say to you, beloved, that general had some courage, not just on the battlefield, but on the home front. He was not going to let somebody stand and blaspheme the one that saved him from his sin. God help us in our generation to see some men and women of courage that will stand for what's right, regardless, beloved, of the circumstances. What do you see, Pastor, in the chapter? Why should we be of good courage? The Word of God said good courage, very courageous, good courage, and then be strong and of good courage. First thing I want you to look at is our predecessors. Beloved, listen to me. We're enjoying the freedoms we have today because there were men and many times women. Listen, the woman may not have been on the battlefield years ago, but she was right here making the ammunition. She was right here, beloved, in the factories. That's where the woman working started, really, if you think about it. I'm talking about working outside the home. Beloved, if you work in the home, you've got a full-time job. Amen. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, beloved, listen, there was a unity. People were together. And the Word of God tells us here, Moses, my servant, is dead. One of the things that I believe gave Joshua great courage was God speaking to him and saying, hey, there's somebody been down this trail before you, and I was with him, and I'll be with you. And that helps this pastor today to know that there are men of God who paid a much greater price for the truth than perhaps I'll ever pay. But they stood true to the Word of God. They stood true to their principles. They stood true to that flag. They stood true to the God of heaven. And they would not back down on the principles of God's Word. Our predecessors, Moses had went on before Joshua. Moses was off of the scene. Brother Jack went off of the scene. One day Pastor will be off of the scene. One day Brother Steve will be off of the scene. I looked at a picture of you the other day, brother. You're pretty sharp when you were young. You were the director of the master clubs. Amen. It was in one of the old directories. I looked at a picture and he married a baby. Amen. I mean, you should just see these pictures. Amen. Young, Brother Steve. But one day, brother, you'll be off the scene. We'll be one of the predecessors. We'll be one of those that have gone on before. Brother John, it won't be long. We won't be walking this sod. But hopefully, we can leave an impact on these youngins, on our children, on our grandchildren, for the glory of God, that would make them say, hey, Daddy walked with God, and I want to walk with God. Papa walked with God, and I want to walk with God. Mammy, my mommy walked with God, and I want to walk with God. My mama walked with God, and I want to walk with God. Our predecessors, when we look and see. Years ago, I didn't mean to tell this morning, but years ago, my grandfather, he didn't have a car. And when it was time to preach, the first thing he had to do when he left the house was go across the river. And so in a suit, he would take off his dress shoes, take off his socks, wade across, pull his pants up, what they call ford the river. It wasn't Mike Ford, but you know you forded the river. And go across in that shallow place where the little ripples were. That's where the trout like to bite, by the way, if you know how to fish. Amen. And he'd go across and he'd get on the other side, take out his handkerchief and dry his feet off, put his socks back on, and put his shoes on and walk many times for miles to stand in one of them little old country churches like you see in the pictures. Might seat 20 people, Brother Steve. Some of them may seat 35 or 40 and stand in one of them little churches and preach revival meetings. I can remember my grandfather telling the story how he got burdened in prayer. He's beginning to get some years on him. And he said, God, how long? How long do you want me to do this? One Saturday morning, two businessmen pulled up. Some of you are going to look at me like you can't believe this. But two businessmen pulled up, knocked on the door on a Saturday morning and said, John, we don't know why we're doing this, but here's the keys. And down there's the car. The insurance is paid on it. And it's got tags on it. My grandfather began to weep. He said, I know why you're doing it. He said, Pastor, you still believe the God of heaven can speak to hearts? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. He's not broke. And beloved, he knows what we need even before we ask. But he said to ask. He said, Pastor, where does that fit in the message? My grandfather is one of my predecessors that causes me to want to stand up and have a little courage and not cave in to the whims of this world, even the whims of this religious world. There are people that are rolling over on this Bible, changing Bibles every day. Rolling over on the old path and wanting that new contemporary. Listen to me. It takes courage to stand in the old path. And we ought not to give up on it. It's still the right way to go. God ought to give us courage looking at our predecessors. Secondly, God ought to give us some courage. We ought to be strong and be of good courage because of the place the Lord has promised. You say, Pastor, God didn't promise us a piece of ground in Israel. Nope. He promised us a home in heaven. The Word of God said here in verse number 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given Moses, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. God had promised them a land. And God has promised us a land. There's a land that's fairer than day. Where we'll never get a phone call about our children. Where we'll never be heartbroken again. I believe that we will weep at the great white throne judgment. For if you look at the chronological order, it's right after that judgment that God said, I'll wipe all tears away from their eyes. But after that, there's no more crying. No more dying. No more pain. No more devil. No more flesh. No more world pulling at the heartstrings of God's people. We ought to be courageous because of our predecessors. We ought to be courageous because of the Lord, the land, the place that the Lord has promised. Thirdly, we ought to be courageous because of the promises that God has given. Look at verse 8. This book of the law. Can I tell you something? Listen, get this one. It never changes. This book of the law. The book of the law for Joshua. The book of the law for us. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What the world calls success and what God calls success is two different things. You see, you could go back to Stephen. Anybody know how many messages Stephen preached? Would the world say, Brother Don, if you preached one message and then died, you were a success? God did, didn't he? So much so that Jesus stood up from the right hand of God the Father. He said, Pastor, you really believe that? when Stephen said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand, I really believe that. He said, son, you've been successful. You've done what I wanted you to do. I'm telling you, beloved, today, listen, that success in the eyes of the world and success in the eyes of God are two totally different things. Brother Don, I know, knows what I'm talking about. You can go around some of these big dog preachers' conferences and they act like if you don't baptize 500 every year, you're not doing anything for God. I can't wait till the judgment seat of Christ when you go over in West Virginia and the hills of Virginia, even over in, beloved, to them rolling hills in Illinois, and see those pastors that have stood there decade after decade after decade preaching this same gospel to a handful of people and being faithful to the things of God. I believe, beloved, and those men will hear God say, well done! And there may be many that's had a mega crowd, and God knows all they wanted was to fleece the people. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God's keeping the score. It was a happy day in my life. I used to go around those conferences, Brother Don, and come home feeling like a dog lower than a snake's belly, feeling like I wasn't doing nothing. It was a happy day in my life when I was reading in Corinthians and God said, listen, son, I'm going to judge your works. Yes, I am. But it's not going to be by what size they are. It's going to be by what sort they are. You read it in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm telling you, beloved, God's not looking for the size. He's looking for the sort. The sort comes out of this book of the law. The promises that God has given. Why else should we be courageous? The Bible said here in verse number 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Now listen, I'm not saying this in a critical manner. But if we'd be truthful, there's a lot of people that's lived the last 2 years of their life completely afraid. And I say this, I say it respectfully. Some are still afraid. Listen to me carefully. The Word of God said, perfect love casteth out fear. I told Brother Ralph before church this morning, you'll understand why I'm saying what I'm saying now a little bit later. I may leave out of here. And I may leave out of here as a result of that little old thing that you can't even see that we call a virus. But Brother Wayne, if I do, I want to leave out doing exactly. I don't want to leave out running from the work that God has called me to do. I want to run to the work that God has called me to do. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, when the Bible said right here, watch this, he said, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I wrote right there in the margin of my Bible, the presence of the Lord. Just knowing, not only is he with me, but hallelujah, he's for me, Brother Anthony. The Word of God said, if God be for us, who can be against us? This is what I figure. If I'm wrong, you show it to me in the Bible. If you can't show it to me in the Bible, just keep it to yourself. February the 22nd, Macy Ann, have to stop. Macy Ann was born on the same day I was born again. February the 22nd, 1987. I was born again. Before I was born on December the 31st, 1959. Now listen, if you're ever going to take notes, you ought to be writing things like this down. I mean, you might want to give me some on both my birthdays. I don't know. But listen, my God knew. Sister Jennifer, the day I come in, the day I was leaving out. Not only did he know that, he knew that boy is going to get saved. I'm not talking about predestination the way that beloved some preach it. I'm telling you, when a man gets saved, it's predestined that he become conformed to the image of God's Son. But I am going to tell you, in the foreknowledge of God, God knew that I'd come a day when I'd get sick of myself. I'd get sick of my sin. And I'd want to be forgiven. And I'd want to be a part of the greatest family that's ever been on the face of the earth, the family of God. God knew that. God also knew the day I would breathe my last breath. One old preacher said, if I knew where I was going to be when I die, I wouldn't go there. One preacher's preaching on the coming of Jesus. How many wants to go? How many wants to go? Hands all over the auditorium. One little boy sitting on the front bench. He got concerned about him. He talked to him after church. He said, son, I thought you got saved a couple of weeks ago. He said, I did. He said, I noticed when I asked how many wants to go to heaven, how many wants to go be with Jesus, that everybody raised their hand except you. He said, oh, preacher, I thought you was getting up a load for tonight. Everybody wants to go, but not too many people want to go tonight. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the events of this world are taking really, really, really scriptural shape. And that we ought to be more excited than we've ever been. It might not be long. And we're going to get to see him, Brother Steve. We're going to get to bow at his feet. I don't know about you, Brother Steve, but when I try to thank him, I feel so inadequate. He's been so good to me. But maybe that day I can adequately thank him for what he's done. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for taking me home. The presence of the Lord. And then lastly in the message this morning, I give you this. God told Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Only be strong and of a good courage. I've got some people in my life, as God spoke to my heart about this message. People that I have watched face adversity with courage. People that I have watched even face eternity with courage. Years ago, Jamie Ray, he was in our youth group. I was the youth director after I saved at Landmark Baptist Church. I'll give you this, I was 27 years old then. But anyway, drove one of the vans. Youth director, taught the adult men's Sunday school class. I didn't have to be begged. Man, I wanted to do something for the God that loved me so much to forgive me. Jamie Ray, one of our teenagers, I encouraged our teenagers to carry their Bible to school. I said, that is, if you believe it and you read it and you love the Lord. I said, please don't be a hypocrite. Don't carry your Bible to school if you don't read it and you don't believe it and you don't love the Lord. That would just be hypocritical. They made the mistake one day in that science class, you know, teaching that we're the ancestors of a monkey. They made the mistake one day. At the end of the class, the teacher said, does anybody have anything you want to say? Jamie Ray reached down under his seat. His Bible was on top. He didn't have to fumble for it. He reached down under his seat, took his Bible out, and he stood up. He said, yes, ma'am, I'd like to say this. This book says, In the beginning, God created. I believe this book. He put it right back. Set back down. You know what that took? That took courage. That took courage. You know good and well, somebody mocked him for doing it. But it took courage to stand for what was right. He didn't have to say anything else. Everybody in the classroom knew exactly what he was saying. And by the way, beloved, let me add to what Jamie said. Male and female created he them. That's still how he's creating them. Guarantee you, when Macy was laying there in that nursery, people were walking by. Guarantee you, no one said to Michael or to Nita, what is it? Guarantee you, they didn't turn around and say, we don't know. It's a girl. That's the way God still operates. It's either a girl or it's a boy. I'm going to say this. You can get mad at me if you want to. But what have you got to be proud of if you was born a man and you can beat the girls in the swimming pool? What have you got to be proud of? My goodness. I tell you what let's do. Let's just have an arm wrestling competition. Let's level the playing field here. Some of you ladies might beat Brother Steve, but you're not going to beat me, amen? You say, how do you know, Pastor? I got too much pride. Say amen. Everybody knows God made a man different than a woman and a woman different than a man. When you get to meddling in that, you're messing up bad. 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 The last thing, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people that are following, that ought to cause us to be courageous, to be strong, be very courageous. Notice what the Bible said here in verse number 14. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain. You remember that God had given the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh had given them a possession on this side of the river. But what Joshua was saying to the men, much like what's going on in Ukraine, your wives and your little ones can leave, but you're between the age of 18 and 60 years old. You're going to stay and you're going to fight. I told my wife this morning, I hadn't thought about this in years. My dad had an uncle years ago, Randall, that couldn't hear good like me. Like my dad's dad, like my grandpa, couldn't hear good. And one of the boys played a trick. They didn't have TV in those days. They had that big old radio. It was about that wide and about that tall. He got over behind it. And he unplugged it, Brother Ralph. And he made some static noise. Like that. He said, we want all the men between the age of 18 and 80 to report for duty in the military right now, immediately. And he said, the old man looked at the radio and said, say that again? People that are following. I'd hate to leave this world being labeled as a chicken. Afraid to tell the truth. Afraid to stand for what's right. You say, Pastor, you'll never be popular. Are you just now figuring that out? Was Jesus popular? Was John the Baptist popular? Was Paul popular? Was Stephen popular? We need to make up our mind in this generation. Do we want to be popular or do we want to be right? Those that will stand on the right side of this book will be found on the right side in history. They'll be found on the Lord's side. I want to meet with the Sunday school teachers and the Bible school teachers, many of them are the same. They're teaching in Sunday school and in Bible school. But I want to tell the church this before I close this message out. Who's got the song of invitation this morning, Brother Ralph? Y'all got it? Lars not here. Okay. Unless you want me to do it, Brother Ralph. That'd invite him to the back door. Amen. Good thing I can't hear, ain't it? I miss out on a lot because I can't hear, good and bad. I looked up the numbers last night. There's zero new cases in Sullivan County. 141 cases out of 160,000 people. It's time to go back to church. I mean that. It's time to go back to Sunday school. I'd like to have an Easter sunrise service. Have breakfast after the service before we go into Sunday school and our morning service that day. I'm just telling you, something's going to get me. I don't know what it is. I don't know when it'll be. But God does. And I'm in His hands. And I'm praying that God will give our teachers courage. God will give our children's church workers courage. Mary, if you and Hannah could come tonight, in case somebody has children, I'm calling the church to prayer tonight. Some of you have never been to a Sunday night service. I'm not criticizing you. I'm asking you to realize there's people in the world that need our prayers. I'm asking you to come back tonight. I'm asking you to bring somebody else with you tonight. If there's little children that maybe wouldn't be a part. Brother Jimmy, this is what I see in my heart. I see Sunday school teachers in their rooms begging God to give them courage and give their children courage and to fill their classroom. I see children's church workers in their spots begging God to help them to stand with these little ones that are following them. I don't know if it could be worked out, but I think it'd be awesome if the choir could just get practice up tonight. Couple, three songs for next Sunday. If there's any preaching tonight, it won't be scheduled preaching. But I'm telling the preachers that's in this house, if you come in here tonight and God's put something on your heart and you don't deliver it, you'll be quenching the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. God is calling us. Look what Joshua was facing. And yet God said, come here, boy. I've got a vaccine for you. I'm going to give you a shot in the arm of something called courage. And you're going to go across that river. And you're going to win that battle. Would you consider it? Would you come back tonight? Would you come back and let's pray? We'll be here Wednesday night anyway. God willing, next Sunday morning we'll be in Sunday school. I'm going to put out a text this morning to my teenagers. Ask them to gather to pray. I'm going to put out a phone call this afternoon to everybody that's on the call list. Beloved, we need some people to have some courage. Get over this. Realize something's going to take us out of here anyway. I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? I believe with all of my heart, perfect love casteth out fear. Be strong and of a good courage. That's what God told Joshua. And God has spoken to my heart. I don't know. It may be kind of like a reboot. I don't know. But I do know this. If each one of us will listen closely to Him, and do what he tells us to do, there's no telling what God will do right here in this place on this hill. It starts with a leader. But a leader is not a leader unless there's followers. Years ago, I heard a man say something. He said, if you think you're leading and you look behind you and no one's following, he said, you're not leading. You're just going for a walk. God knows my heart, Brother Houston. I don't want to spend the rest of my life just going for a walk. I want to lead God's dear people as he, y'all understand that principle in the Word of God, leads me. I love you with all of my heart. May God give us the courage that we need to do what's needed in this day and in this hour. Franklin Graham was on the news this morning. They were kind of, Brother Steve, building him up. You know, they're thankful for the supplies and for the medical care. I love Franklin Graham. Maybe you don't. Sister Karen, this is what he said. What they need more than anything is God's people to pray. And I had already told Miss Eve we're coming back to church tonight. She said, we are? I said, yeah, we are. I said, we're coming back to pray. We're setting aside some time to pray. It'd be good if somebody got in that dry hole back there and prayed that it don't stay dry long. God would give us some converts. It'd be good if somebody bowed at this flag and just prayed for America. Say amen. It'd be good if somebody just bowed in the pulpit and prayed for you, Pastor. It'd be good. Somebody just spent some time out in the cold in one of the vans praying for those youngins, praying for those that drive the vans. By the way, a prayer request I forgot. Brother Doyle Robinson's not feeling well. Pray for him. God reminded me because he drives the van, fills in for Mike and Tanita. I'm just glad you come today. I'll tell you what I believe, Brother Ralph. I don't believe we need to have an invitation this morning. Pastor's here. If you need something, you need prayer, you need to be saved, I'm here, I'll be here. There are others that'll be around after church. But God is calling the church. Will you come back? Will you get on the phone, call somebody? Tell them to come with you tonight. Come with you. Was it, Brother Don, you can help me with this. I'll ask it like this. I'm thinking it was David, but who said in the Bible, God forbid that I should give unto the Lord that which costs me nothing? Do you remember who that was? Was it Samuel about a place of burial? He was looking. Does anybody know for sure? Is that who it was for sure, Brother Don? He was buying a place of burial for his wife. It was Abraham for Sarah. Was he looking for a place for Sarah? Okay, but anyway, the statement's there. Pastor, don't remember real well, but God forbid that I should offer or give unto the Lord. The word might be offer unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. In other words, they were trying to give it to him, and he said, no, I'll pay. God's asking us this morning, Brother Wade, will we pay the price to have God's power, to have God's presence in our families, in our Sunday school classes, in our children's churches, in our services? Will we pay the price, come together for a time of prayer? If you're providentially hindered, God knows that, and God understands that. But if you're not, honestly tonight, if you're sitting in front of a television at 6 o'clock, I'm going to pray that God will speak to your heart. Amen. And help you to understand, listen to this word, the urgency of the hour. You say, Pastor, do you believe it's that urgent for the Ukrainian people? Yes, I do. But I'm afraid we don't see the urgency right here in the homeland. We don't see the urgency. If you're paying attention to the news, beloved, they're already talking about nuclear ambitions. You say, Pastor, are you trying to scare us? No, no, no. God's got this. I belong to Him. Amen. I'm trying to get you to realize how serious the circumstances are in this world that we live in. How many's glad you come? Let's stand to our feet this morning.